Okay, welcome to a very serious unshow. Not any, no laughs in this one at all. But just want to say thanks very, very much to my good friend T. Morris, who's a good person, good friend, a good dad who helped me get through this and helped keep me on track because I definitely wandered at points. But just to be clear, this is a request for resources. Nothing more, nothing less. And thank you for listening.
So anyway, without building up any suspense here, my history is well known throughout our little podcast world, I guess, throughout our little part of it, is that my I had to leave Arizona in 2006 to be near my children who were on the East Coast, and apparently, they were not going to be coming back to Arizona anytime soon. And obviously, the year now is 2009. This is being recorded actually in early March 2009. But now, this is early March 2009, and actually the last contact at this point that I've had with my children was July 11th, 2008. And I've been quiet about this on pod. And I've been quiet about this because this is actually not the first time that this kind of thing has gone on. There was actually a period of time from January 2008 until March 2008 where there was more basically, and I don't think this is, I think I can say this because it's a fact, there was more visitation interference where I didn't see them at all. Now, first of all, actually, I forgot to preface this. There have been occasional accusations over the years, especially because there was a time before on Deadpan where I laid out the facts. I said, this is what's going on in my life. And there have been, like I said, there have been accusations over the years of, seeking sympathy or, trying to carry this cross around. This is not the case. That was not the case that time, and absolutely not the case this time. I'm not seeking sympathy. And really, I wouldn't be just putting this out there. The reason why I'm putting this out there is I've gone through the courts. I've been to the court twice now trying to get this resolved. And in both times, I just sort of assumed the facts were so cut and dry that basically, with for no reason at all, and this is, I guess you're taking me on faith here, but for no reason at all, suddenly the contact between me and my children was abruptly cut off.
Now, Jack, I want to quickly jump in here real quick. Now, if I remember correctly, there was an agreement. You didn't necessarily take take her to court, but you did meet with an arbiter, correct? And you signed an agreement. Can you very briefly just talk about that agreement and what has been broken because of this?
Right. Well, all right. What I'll do is I'll go back in, all the way in history. Is that, of course, when parents get divorced, there's a visitation agreement. One was drafted when I was in Arizona, and my children were in, and my ex-wife were in New York. And so we had an agreement in place. And actually, anytime there's a legal separation, or no matter what, parents are not this. Let's just make this clear. No matter what, even without any tangible agreement in place, no parent, no one is allowed to block contact. So I would say that in cases where there is some kind of abuse or some kind of something bad being done or one person's out of control, I would say, yeah, in those cases, yes, you do whatever it takes to protect the children. You keep your kids safe. But that is obviously, as I said, that is not the case here. That is not the case. What is being done here is not done out of a desire to protect the children from anything, because there is nothing to protect them from. What is being done here is just a desire of, in my opinion, I think it's just being done out of just a desire to continue drama and to continue playing games. And actually, it's I've heard of divorces where the one party, in fact, a friend of mine related this to me because she saw what had happened with her, with in-laws of hers, where the mother, they got divorced and the mother said to the father, during the proceedings, "Well, I know the only things you care about are the kids and the money, so that's what I'm going to keep from you." And that, I think people underestimate just how malicious people get in these things, and people recognize, and people, of course, everyone knows that you don't use children as weapons, but some people, many, actually not some, many people still do in cases of divorce. So to answer T's question, there was something in place during that first, in January of 2008, again for no reason, The children were absolutely cut off from me for no reason. That went on until March when I brought... that is when I brought us, not before a judge, I brought us before a mediation. My ex-wife and I met for a mediator. We drafted an agreement. I saw my children that night. After 3 months of nothing, of no contact, no nothing, I saw them that night after meeting with the mediator. And right, we had drawn up an agreement. Now, that was in March of 2008, and... that basically stuck, you know. Without I can go on and on.
Right.
Just for argument's sake and for simplicity's sake.
We're just saying that it stuck. She got the message that if something went amiss, you guys would go to court. And for a while, it looked like it stuck.
Right.
But now we're in this situation. We're in this situation.
Now what has happened? What has happened is. July 11th, like I said, is the last time I saw my children. It was a Sunday night. Basically, their agreement was that I saw them every the first 3 weekends of the month, and then every single Tuesday night we had dinner together. And the very last conversation I've had with my son was on a Sunday night when he asked me, "When am I going to see you again, Daddy?" I said, "I'll see you in 2 days for dinner." And that was the very last conversation I had with him. And again, that was July. I believe that would, you know, forgive me if the date's wrong. It was a Sunday around July 11th. Now, what happened was I received a certified letter from my ex-wife informing me that they were moving to New Mexico with no address, just moving to New Mexico. It's illegal. That's also illegal. But again, that's besides the point. What is important here is that was the last time I saw my children. There's been no contact with them. I've not talked with them on email. I've not talked with them in any way. So the reason why I'm bringing this up on pod is not for drama, not for sympathy, not for people, you know, to be impressed with anything. The reason why I'm bringing that up is because I need legal. I can't afford a lawyer. I've tried to get a pro bono lawyer. A very good friend of mine here in Arizona has gotten me a whole bunch of legal resources, and you know, I greatly appreciate her efforts on my behalf. But I've contacted a pro bono agency, and they said, I cannot afford a lawyer at this point, you know. But they said, "Oh, you have too much money. You can't get a pro bono lawyer." So I don't have any legal representation. I've been doing everything in court on my own, and I've been absolutely stymied by the court. So that made me realize that I can't do this on my own anymore. I can't go and stand up for myself in court anymore because I can't maneuver these legal mazes anymore. You know, I can't. A lawyer would know what to do in that situation. I don't, and I don't. You know, I have to focus on my priorities. I mean, obviously I have minor priorities like, you know, writing and music and podcasting and things like that. But, you know, my priorities are surviving, you know, because my job situation has been in flux. And, of course, getting these children, getting contact back with these children that has been abruptly and illegally cut off. And, you know, and it's been, you know, since July of 2008 and counting every day. And,
what you're doing something that, you know, you never intended for this community to do or to be a part of. You know, all you wanted to do was just hang out and have a good time. But right now what you're doing here is you're basically turning to the community and saying, "I need your help."
Right. If you know of anyone, if you have any legal resources, then that's what I need. I need legal resources and I need a lawyer. If there's a good lawyer who's willing to take a case, a pro bono case, that if you know a lawyer who is willing to do this simply for the minimal amount of publicity and to do a good thing, to do a right thing, to restore, you know, children to their children's contact with their father, which is a noble cause, I'd say absolutely. Unless the father is, you know, an abusing prick who does not deserve. Who needs to clean his act up before, you know, I'd say that those cases are far too frequent, but that is not the case here. This is a case of simply a loving, devoted father who's been cut off in some kind of game because the custodial parent here holds all the cards. And actually, this is purpose two of this unshow, is that, again, you know, my friend, I didn't ask her about singling her out, but, you know, she, one of the other good things that she did, she got me hooked up with a father's email group. And I've come to learn through this father's email group, this sort of support group, that this is an epidemic. This is actually a legal epidemic across probably the world, but definitely this country, and it happens a lot in Canada too. And what's going on is that the non-custodial, I'm not going to single out fathers or mothers, the non-custodial parent is just being cut off from access to their children. The non-custodial parent with visitation rights is just being cut off, and there's absolutely nothing is being done.
It's simply out of spite. It's basically simply out of spite.
Right, or, you know, whatever the reason that someone that the custodial parent is cutting it off, which, yes, you know, is obviously going to be mostly out of spite. But, right. But yes, because people, you know, petty custodial parents are, because they hold all the cards, they're doing this. And again, I went to court twice after that mediation. I did go stand before a judge twice. I stood before a judge in September. You know, I've already recounted how in March we went before a mediator. When this happened again, I didn't mess around. I went back to court. I stood in court in September, was told the court apologized to me and shrugged. I actually made a big speech. I did this grandstanding, you know, for me, dramatic speech in court saying that this could not be overlooked. And they just apologized and said, well, sorry. I appeared again in the same court in December and again got apologies and basically nothing was done to restore contact between my children and me. So this is what you need to know. Because actually, I will say this also, is that I don't go around telling this story to people, but, you know, I've told it people in my family and people who are privy to, you know, are close in my life. And I've gotten, I'm not seeking sympathy, but I've gotten a sort of, well, you're not telling me all the facts or you don't really care. Because the court is on your side, and you're just not doing enough, which is bullshit. And actually, a lot of those fathers out there, I'm sorry, a lot of those non-custodial parents out there who are doing their damnedest will tell you the same thing. You know, if you have lots of money, then yes, you can hire Johnny Cochran's ghost to go to court and kick ass for you. But obviously, that's not the case here. I don't have a lot of money, and most people don't have lots and lots and lots of money to throw it at the legal system to win this battle for them. And that is what you need. If you don't have that, as I said, you know, that has pissed me off. You know, I've heard it from people in my family. Like, oh, do you even care? Or are you not, you're not doing enough? Or, oh, there must be some other fact. No, there's no other fact. The fact is that the courts are overloaded. The courts are bogged down. And the courts are, so the courts are happy to dismiss you and your problems. And, you know, even though, you know, in these cases, children are in danger and children are being fucked up and they're losing privileges and they're losing contact with, you know, one of the two most important people in their lives.
And just to quickly say something, I just, you know, just throwing this out to the community, the reason why you're coming to the community is because you really feel like you're breaking the glass. I mean, you wouldn't normally, you know, grandstand like this. You know, this is obviously not you. But the one thing that we don't need from the community is stating the obvious, like, well, Jack, you waited too long. You really shouldn't have gotten a lawyer beforehand, blah, 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 blah. You don't need that. I mean, I know that I probably gave you an earful when you first started going down this road. But, you know, you were trying to be the good guy from this. You were trying to be you were trying to do the right thing, and you didn't want it to get ugly, mainly because you don't want you were looking out and thinking about the kids. Now you have to lawyer up. Jack knows he has to lawyer up. Don't tell him that you really need a lawyer, Jack. Don't state the obvious. If you've got any resources, help him. You know, and if you're wondering why am I putting up and not shutting up, it's because I've already put up. I put a feeler out to two people that I knew in my Twitter network who had legal affiliations. One of them couldn't help me out but he did send me a couple of links. And I've sent some resources Jack's way. I don't know if Jack's been able to put any of them to use. I'm not expecting him to. I'm just saying, look, this is all I can do right now. If somebody wants to start a chipped in that you know for a legal fund for Jack, you know, this is not going to go away overnight, and it's not going to go away cheaply. But at the same time, you know, it's something. But the community, you know, you hear us throwing around the word community, community, community. Well, now it's time for the community to step up, because what's happening here is wrong, and Jack needs help, not just for custody laws in Arizona, but custody laws in New Mexico as well. And this is where it's going to get complicated. Right. You know, even though she broke the law, even though she broke the agreement and ergo broke the law and ergo kidnapped these kids, at the same time, the Arizona courts may tell Jack, you need to confer with the New Mexico courts. And New Mexico may say, well, I'm sorry, you're going to have to defer with the Arizona courts, which means Jack is going to need somebody who really knows their stuff. So right. this is why we're turning to the community for help. But you've hit the points, and now it's time for us to throw ourselves in front of the community and say, look, we need help.
Right. And actually, you know, that's I do have a couple more points to make. Is that, first of all, yes, I'm actually not I'm not spelling out, because I don't want to put a cap. If someone knows, oh, my Uncle Bob is a lawyer in New Mexico, and he probably can give you a half an hour of his time, that would be wonderful. If you know of a lawyer in the Phoenix area who might be willing to take this case on a pro bono basis. But as T alluded, this is heavy material for me. I'm not sure if I mentioned that. Yes, she did take the kids out of state. The kids are not in Arizona now, which is actually, you know, some of you are probably thinking, why not get the police involved? The police are involved, but I'm not bashing what the police do, but they keep telling me why they can't do anything. Last year, when it was obvious that this was going to have to go through the courts and get ugly, I didn't get a lawyer because, again, you know, my first priority has to be survival, you know, because I can't win the children and then have nowhere to live with them. I have to survive. So unfortunately, that's where the difference between me and your celebrity who's going to court, because I don't have the money to just go out and spend a whole bunch on lawyers. So that's basically what I'm putting it out there. If you can get me legal resources, then I greatly appreciate it. And yes, you know, T did get a really excellent contact for me, and I've actually spoken to that guy, and I've looked into a lot of the links that T and this guy have sent me. So I appreciate my appreciation to him. Again, I would call him out, but I don't know if he wants to remain anonymous. So I appreciate to that all of these people, and I appreciate actually T. I appreciate you being on here and helping me stay on course, because yes, I did drift. And you know, I think also
you're fine. You're doing just fine, bro.
Well, I think you also, you know, T is a famously dedicated and devoted and really good father, and I think that also lends credibility to my cause here today, and I appreciate you being here. But yeah, I think I'm going to shut down what I have to say, but I appreciate what you've done. I appreciate you out there for listening, and I'm sorry for bending your ear on this for this long, but I'm just, again, I didn't intend for it to go this far, but basically I'm open for discussion. Send me emails, and if you can help, then this is something that needs to happen. This needs to happen now, which is why I'm putting this out there. That's why I've postponed, you know, the Watchmania Part 2, because I've put this off for too long, and it needs to be addressed now. I mean, my children get older every day and, you know, they're every day they get a little more distance from, again, one of the two most important people in their lives, which is me. And it's not right, and it needs to be. And the court is not going to do it. The court does not care. To put it bluntly, the court does not care. So the court is the way I'm going to win this back, but you know, the way I've been approaching the court is not enough to make them care. So I need a change, and that's where I'm asking for your help.